Hi, welcome to Your Life and Legacy. I'm your host, Christopher Nudo. Every single day, we look at the blueprints of what people build their estates with and their businesses and their families. But a true legacy is never just about the wealth you accumulate. It's about the wisdom you deploy and the lives that you transform. Scripture reminds us that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. But true stewardship requires us to manage our resources with absolute excellence, precision, and deep spiritual intentionality. Today, we're diving deep into what it means to build sustainable, value-driven enterprises that stand the test of time. My guest today is somebody who understands that intersection of hard financial matrix and deep human potential. Divya Gill is a global business leader, an ICF executive coach and author, and the powerhouse of Now Media Television's Guilty Savings. She has spent her career helping organizations unlock sustainable growth, balancing ruthless financial discipline with profound people development. Divya, welcome to Your Life and Legacy. It's an absolute privilege to have you with us today.
Thank you. The honor is mine.
This initial segment establishes the foundational philosophy shared by both Divya and I that and other corporate operators and financial stewards have with regard to personal legacy. What we want to do here is really understand transactional business management and the legacy mindset that goes into leadership. So Divya, let's start with, the foundational stuff. Short-term financial survival to long-term legacy planning. What are some of the market pressures that affect us and people react to?
You know, Chris, that's a great question because our inherent human nature is to look at our feet so that we don't trip, and especially when the market gets volatile. And as leaders, we are only looking at our feet. We have no idea what the direction we are going in. And leadership requires lifting our eyes beyond today's headlines, transitioning from the survival mode to the legacy mode, to your point. That means changing our timeline from reacting on annual basis to thinking years ahead. Every major company that has stood the test of time has experienced economic uncertainty, which is inevitable. The difference is that they have made decisions based on strategy and not fear. Something I've seen in my CPA practice, where I tell business owners that legacy is not something you begin planning for at retirement. It's something you build during your entirety of your life, during uncertainty as well. The businesses that emerge stronger in our client base are the ones that prepare before the storm arrives. They establish cash reserves. They'll go ahead and diversify their revenue streams. They'll invest in tax planning and strategy and create operational efficiencies while times are good. Fear causes all of us to cut all the investments that might help us create the future growth, whether that's people, whether that's innovation or strategic planning. However, I would challenge our audience to think about how do I preserve the foundation while positioning for the next opportunity.
Excellent. And I love how you really just laid it out for our audience in such a way that they have to be very intentional about making these decisions. So, business owners and leaders come in all shapes and varieties, ages and, different family structures. When's the right timing to really start focusing on these things? Because we know that, when you start a business, you have all the distractions of startup. But if you wait too long, you're into a very mature area where you may have already missed opportunities. Where's that sweet spot?
So that is a great question, and this is something I get asked by all my clients, that when do I get started? I always tell them that there is no better time to start. You start now, right? You start working and looking at your numbers now. Financial growth is not something you are going to conquer overnight. From an executive's perspective, that means you might have to look at your profit and loss today and look at the revenue streams that you have. You have to look at your income statement. Well, you also have to look at your expenses to see what operational efficiencies you can create by cutting wasteful spending, or maybe allocating more money to advertising that delivers. So the whole idea is an ongoing conversation with your tax expert, be it your CPAs, the attorneys, whoever you're working with, the financial planners, like I call a trio group, right? Find your trio group of a CPA, attorney, and your financial planner. This trio should be able to work together and be able to position you for both short-term and long-term success. Goals and how to achieve those goals. So it's not done in a vacuum. It's not done at retirement. It doesn't stop at that point. It's an ongoing process.
And I think it's really important that you pointed out the team, because the team is so important. Your CPA, your financial advisor, your attorney. And you said something that was incredibly important, and that is these three need to be like-minded and they need to get along, which kind of leads me to my next point, which is so stewardship. What does that look like when evaluating the balance sheet through the executive lens and, a faith-sensitive perspective? So now we're taking that real hardcore business sense and running it through stewardship. What does that really look like from a leadership standpoint?
That question, I would like to break it out in two parts. And I'll start with this. Did you know that majority of our clients who own successful businesses and are making so much in revenues do not know what a balance sheet is and what a balance sheet looks like? Okay. They'll come to us and they'll tell me that I make all this money, however, I don't know where my cash goes. That's exactly what you need to do when you think of a balance sheet. From an executive's perspective, the balance sheet means financial strength. It measures aspects of your assets, your liabilities, your liquidity, and the organization's ability to create that value they're working towards. Those metrics matter because you might have a lot of revenues, but you might not have enough cash flow at the end if your assets and liabilities are not managed properly. And then moving on to that faith perspective, which is the second aspect that you asked about, stewardship reminds us that we as managers are not ultimate owners of the resources entrusted to us. Money is a tool, not the mission here. And when those two perspectives come together, financial decision making becomes more profitable, but with purpose. A healthy balance sheet isn't simply about accumulating wealth. It's about creating stability that allows you to honor your commitments, take care of your employees, serve the customers with excellence, invest in innovation, and contribute positively to your community. In my opinion, ultimately, it helps you take care of yourself because you're bringing your true self and building that and enhancing that. So, as an example, I've worked with businesses in so many different industries that have strong organizations finally that we built towards. And now they're not just making revenues, they're actually accumulating cash flows and growing the way they envision and maybe further beyond what they expected.
That's fantastic. And I love how you bring in purpose. You mentioned that as soon as the stewardship element came in, and the fact that we're using money as a tool versus being the end all part of the game here, you needed purpose in which to make it all work. So what are some of those blind spots that you've seen executives suffer from when, creating purpose, or the term corporate inheritance? And we have a couple minutes left in this segment, so if you could just kind of unpack a couple of those blind spots quickly.
Sure. So I will touch on two quick ones that I think that I noticed with our client base. One is that there is that confusing activity when it comes with strategy. Businesses become so busy solving everyday problems that they never create tomorrow's opportunities. They delay the successful planning that might help them. Postpone estate planning, they might postpone tax efficiencies and assume they have time later to plan. And that never comes. Tomorrow never comes, like we all say. And the second biggest blind spot we have seen is that success today does not guarantee success tomorrow. Like we say, no 2 days are the same. So lack of that planning there is something we see often haunt business owners and at times lead to their own downfall or issues with their businesses that they never anticipated would happen in the first place.
Yeah, excellent point. Life just kind of happens, is what you're saying. And without that discipline, it doesn't get done. You know, the numbers on your balance sheet will always reflect the health of your leadership infrastructure. If there's no discipline in the quiet seasons, chaos will reign in the volatile ones. Do not move an inch, because when we return from break, Divya is going to unpack the greatest asset in your portfolio, and it isn't your capital. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Your Life and Legacy. I'm your host, Christopher Nudo. Before we dive into this masterclass on leadership, make sure never to miss an episode. Download the free Now Media TV app on Roku or iOS and stream it nonstop. Would you rather listen to the podcast version? You can go to nowmedia.tv and access the full library. Listen, I'm here today with the remarkable Divya Gill, discussing corporate mechanics of building an enterprise that outlasts its founders. Right before the break, we touched on foundations of stewardship. Now I want to pivot to the heartbeat of any organization, its people. In the corporate world, human resources are often viewed strictly through the cold lens of profit and loss statements, minimized as an expense line, managed to mitigate risk. But you know what? If we look at leadership and evaluate its work with every individual in mind, your organization's soul is going to be entrusted to the care and the assets that you design for growth is going to be the resilience of true leadership that will weather the financial storms. It's about pulling the hidden potential out of the men and women who really give the direction to your organization. Now we're going to focus heavily on that talent development as the growth mechanism. Let's challenge the traditional transactional management structure and encourage our viewers to view employment development as both a strategic financial strategy and a high-level leadership responsibility. Divya, when we think of people and how they really are so important to everything that a business owner develops, how do you help our business owners lead properly with those people that have been entrusted to them?
People, my favorite topic. I love talking people, and here's why. And I will use my personal example of Gill Tax Group. At Gill Tax Group, we value people, be it our employees or clients, in as assets, and that's how we view them. And we do not see them as expenses or liabilities. And this is what it comes down to. Based on our experience working with so many different businesses, the best ones who thrive out there are the ones who have similar approach. It's the most important thing when it comes to retaining the right people and then giving them all the tools to help empower them, build them, train them. Because there are indicators and studies done out there that you can't just do everything alone. But if you invest the right time in the right systems, and of course, above all, into the right people, it will turn into real return in terms of your performance, the innovation aspect, and the scalability. I encourage business leaders to look at the metrics such as employee productivity, the client satisfaction, internal promotion rates, profitability per employee, and readiness in terms of leadership. Are they ready to move on to the next step? And how quickly do they adapt to periods of uncertainty? These are some of the indicators that will tell you whether your investment in those employees is creating a stronger organization.
That's
And
excellent. And you lead a ton of leaders. Like you are a true leadership coach. How do you impress upon these people the need for compassionate, empathetic relationships while still, maintaining the strict operational accountability?
I truly believe, Chris, that empathy and accountability are not competing values. They are actually complementary and they strengthen one another. Compassion does not mean lowering your standards. It simply means understanding that the person while remaining clear about your own expectations. Great leaders often say, "I understand what you're facing, and I still believe you're capable of meeting this commitment."
I love that.
Okay. When it comes to the accountability piece, once you are empowering that person by acknowledging how they feel, which is the first part of the sentence, compassion, and then saying, "But you got this," you're holding them accountable that, "Hey, I know that you have it in you to meet that deadline you're looking for or meet the targets." You got to respect the person, but objectively evaluate the outcome. When feedback is delivered with honesty, consistency and genuine care, accountability becomes more of a leadership form rather than a punishment.
So, what's your opinion or what's your leadership style when it comes to working with somebody or working for somebody? Because I've always, in an organization, I've always felt that everybody should be equal because everybody has a job to do and everybody supports one another. And when it comes together, it's one organization. So what are some of the leadership things you share with your people you coach with regard to that?
That's a very top-heavy question, and here's why. There's so many elements going in there. You want to make sure that your profit stays. It's essential. Without the business growing, it's hard to innovate. It's hard to survive. Over the time, you have systemic risks that will inherently exist. And if your employee engagement declines, innovation slows, turnover increases, and then you have other issues with customer services, et cetera, that we could think about. So when I work with different businesses and even my own staff and client base, we tell them that you have to look inwards first and be able to shine as a leader. You have to be able to exhibit the behavior that you expect others to project to you or towards you. If you want someone in your staff to show up on time, that means as a leader, you have to show up on time. It's about holding on to your word and committing and exhibiting that so that as a leader, you can bring on more leaders who understand what the expectations are. Because you just cannot, you are trying to create legacy here. You're not trying to create a company with short-term goals and short-term ultimate profits that you want to accomplish. Unless that is your true purpose, then more power to you on that. But we're talking about developing your people, cultivating your people, and it works the same with clients. As an example, a client comes to me and goes, "I don't understand my books. I don't understand my returns. I don't know what strategy is about. What you do is you sit down with them, you coach them, and you teach them the aspects they don't know and try understanding what their short-term and long-term goals are. So it's all about listening. That is the key factor here at the end of the day.
What, so you had touched on a number of items that I think we can draw down to. What are some of those systemic dangers to an organization that does affect their long-term legacy?
You know, there are many, but in order to sum it up in many ways, the financial success and people development, those are not opposing goals. Those are some of the risks, the top two risks I see inherently dominant within a lot of businesses. And at times, businesses will reinforce one and not the other. However, the healthiest companies understand that investing in people isn't charity. It's one of the smartest long-term business strategies that are available out there. I've worked with businesses that and come across many industries and organizations that stand the test of time where they are able to implement that approach. Their measurement of success is not just their bottom line. Their measurement of success is how well their people are doing, how well the clients are, or how long the clients are retaining with them. In terms of their revenues, how far are they able to diversify their revenues? Because a company may maximize profits for a few quarters, but by neglecting their clients, their workflows, for force, what I call it is by not peopling, it's not going to build that lasting legacy that we're aiming for. Because a lasting legacy will be developed by developing people as leaders who will continue to create that value for decades to come.
And in the last 60 seconds of this segment, can you unpack where the intersection of their culture and faith really impacts that peopling you mentioned?
Absolutely. So, when you have the faith aspect intertwined in there, you have your greatest competitive advantage, which is the people. You have to have that faith in people that they can actually go in and do the job and do the job right. And you have the training tools to help them do that job right. People will perform the best when they're valued and held to a high standard. And companies that invest only in profits create earnings. Companies that invest in people will create generations of success.
Excellent. Yes, I totally agree. And when you value your people correctly, your profits inevitably align. Culture dictates execution, and execution determines, honestly, the business's legacy. Stay with us, because when we come back, we're going to tackle the storm that every leader must eventually face, navigating corporate transformation without tearing your company apart. We'll be right back. Nicely done.
Likewise.
You're watching Your Life and Legacy. I'm Chris Nudo, joined today by Business Global Leader Divya Gill. We have analyzed numbers, we have championed people, and now we must confront the reality of change. The market is unyielding, and disruption is always guaranteed. Whether it's a shift in global supply chains, an economic downturn, a pandemic, or an internal restructuring, every leader will be faced with a moment where the old roadmap becomes seriously obsolete. But true leaders do not panic when the wind shifts. They anchor themselves in their core values and pivot their execution. You know, scripture gives us the model in Nehemiah, where he was rebuilding the walls under immense external threat. keeping one hand on the work and the other hand on his sword. It requires a flawless balance of strategic transformation and unwavering clarity. In these few minutes, we're really going to focus on management resilience and crisis leadership. What are some of those tactical moves that you should consider during market shifts? So, my first question is, how does a leader really cultivate deep organizational trust long before the crisis hits?
So, Chris, I have one word for that, and that is trust. You know, you mentioned the pandemic, remember 2020, and how I truly believe a lot of companies, when it came to the employees, the clients, the trust was not built during that crisis. It was actually tested during that. And always something I tell people personally and professionally in their lives, you have to make daily deposits into your trust bank. Every time as a leader, you communicate transparently, you keep your word and you admit mistakes, you recognize great work. And at the same time, you make difficult decisions consistently, you are depositing into that trust bank. You are consistently bringing or building that credibility that people need to see. One of the biggest mistakes I see leaders making is becoming highly visible only when something goes wrong. Why do the employees question whether the communication is even genuine or is it reactive? So as a CPA and advisor, I've seen many companies survive these downturns like the pandemics, not because they had the most cash, but because they had the most trust. When people believe in you as a leader, they will adapt, they will innovate, and they will work through any uncertainty together. Transformation requires more than a compelling vision. It requires credibility. People do not simply follow strategy. They follow the leaders they trust. And trust is earned, like I said, through consistency and not charisma. When the crisis arrives, your team should not be asking, can we trust our leader? The lingo should be, they should know the answer that yes, he's our leader and he got us, because you as a leader has already demonstrated every single day by making those deposits into the trust bank.
And that's excellent. But we know for certain that there's lots of leaders out there that are not making those deposits into the trust bank. So can you outline some of the primary red flags that you should be looking for in a company where you know that the internal culture is failing?
Yes. And, you know, it's one of those questions where people don't want to talk about it. But the biggest shift you'll see is in the culture, okay? Culture is often the first thing that starts changing even before your financial statements start showing there's a problem.
So what are some of these cultural aspects? So let's get specific. What are some of those things that, you know, you're like, ooh, that's happening at my place. We have to start paying attention.
Well, we are working towards it not happening to our place, but often that's an inevitable problem because you cannot control people's behavior, right? So for the examples of red flags to your point out there, where employees will stop engaging with you in meetings, the employees will stop bringing new ideas forward because they believe they're not being listened to, right? So that's where you see the communication breaking down, the innovation slowing down, and people start protecting their own jobs in their departments instead of collaborating with other departments, something we see as a systemic problem in a lot of companies that tend to grow bigger and the left hand doesn't know what the right hand is doing. The other red flag is when leadership spends more time explaining why change will not work rather than exploring how it could work. Because you have a lot of employees, Chris, you will see who have wonderful ideas where they would love to collaborate with you, but then they get dismissed. So the companies get so attached to a certain way of working, which probably worked generations ago, But now, with the introduction of AI, social media, and all of the dynamics, and with the younger generation we have here, Chris, that wants to run away from faith, wants to run away from all things religious and spiritual, you have a very different dynamic of generation you're raising, you know? And from a financial perspective, I also look for operational indicators, declining client satisfaction, increasing turnover among the top performers in your revenue area, slower decision making, and expenses that have no end to it. And of course, cash flow would be the next best indicator. So healthy cultures, to my point, will remain curious. These are the questions you need to ask yourself. Are people trying to engage, collaborate, or are they walking away from what could probably be built as a very successful legacy to come for years to come?
And when we're talking about these kind of cultural shifts, and we're talking about these key red flags, like you talked about employees not bringing ideas to the table anymore, departments not collaborating for the total good of the company, I gotta believe that trust has a lot to do with that. And when leadership trust is lost, we all know the saying, right? We've all been part of relationships. Trust is earned over time, but it is lost in a moment. And
Absolutely.
so these companies that you've worked with, where you can see clearly that the trust has been lost, what are some of the steps that you advise them to try and rebuild?
That's a very top-heavy question because what these leaders, you and I are leaders, Chris, and I can see that, I can say this with confidence that leadership can be incredibly rewarding. But at the same time, it's very emotionally heavy. Okay. During major restructuring, as an example, people are looking for that stability from you while managing your uncertainty that exists in your mind when you're restructuring, right? We have companies that come in, especially with the AI piece as being the latest example. And there was a company that has about 100 employees, a client of ours. And they were not sure what to do with the new AI system being introduced because that might mean elimination of a good 40% of that workforce. And some of these people had long-standing relationships with the company, had been there for 8 years and years, you know? So there was a challenge that the leaders faced in today's day and world and age where we are evolving every day. So for me, protecting that baseline begins with creating that space to think about before reacting, you know, whether that's prayer, whether that's reflection, quiet planning, or simply stepping away from the situation to gain that perspective, to be able to process how you feel. Leaders need that intentional moment, to reconnect with their own purpose before making any such difficult decisions.
I love that. So really, you're talking, you're focusing, the leader first has to be healthy themselves.
Yes.
They have to have, personal peace, and they have to have their own spiritual baseline. Then they're really capable of carrying the weight of management and leadership within to the organization. So how do you advise as a leader protecting that personal peace? Do you advise them to, watch the hours that they work so there's not burnout and other very practical things so they're healthy so that their people they lead can be healthy? Give us some insight into that.
You said it exactly the way I would have said it. I advise the leaders, and this is something I am guilty of not implementing to the full extent. I try to implement it. As leaders, I tell people to take the time out. There is that burnout factor to the point that you just described. If you are healthy and you can take care of your own mental health and be in that mental state, you will bring your best self out there for your employees, for your family, and for your clients. So you have to work on your own best self. And that just doesn't mean physical health. It also means your emotional and mental stability and taking care of yourself, shutting the emails down, as an example, or shutting the phone down at certain hours, or just taking healthy vacations or might be staycations, but stepping away and cutting that off where you could reboot and recharge, just like a computer would. As a CPA, I often remind businesses that it's not just about preserving everything around you externally, but also about preserving your own self internally. Because it's never easy. You have a lot of difficult decisions to make about your organization, about the health of the organization, but you need to be in a good place to be able to make those decisions.
Excellent. Excellent. Wise advice that our viewers can definitely use. Transformation without clear vision is simply chaos with a budget. To protect your legacy, you must be willing to let go of what worked yesterday to embrace what is required tomorrow. Don't go away. In our final segment, the most impactful segment of the whole show, we're going to talk about sustainable enterprise execution. Stay tuned. Welcome back to this final segment of Your Life and Legacy. I'm Christopher Nudo. Remember that you can watch Your Life and Legacy anytime, anywhere on Now Media TV. And if you're on the go, feel free to download the mobile app on iOS or Android and streaming live and on demand, both in English and in Spanish. We're starting our last conversation for the day with the host of Guilty of Savings, Divya Gill. We have mapped out the entire anatomy of sustainable enterprise leadership today, from managing immense pressure to honor-level talent development to execution through market transformation. Now we're going to bring it all home to this final synthesis. How do you build a revenue system and an operational machine that runs flawlessly when there's no longer room for you in the room? True legacy is not about being indispensable. Quite honestly, it's the opposite. It's about building an architecture of systems, values, and leadership that can carry the torch forward seamlessly. It's about moving from daily operations to generational impact. So let's analyze those tactical and philosophical focuses that best builds systems of sustainable revenue, passing the baton of leadership, and reviewing one's work through the lens of ultimate corporate and personal accountability. Divya, our first question really is, when should the owner start focusing on and taking the focus off of themselves and putting it on the organization itself, where you're really encouraging those leaders in your organization so that you can pass the baton later on?
How often have you heard, Chris, and this is my question to you, how often have you heard this where when you are done with estate planning trust and you've seen the generations take over, suddenly your business starts going down?
Absolutely.
Okay, that's my biggest point. One of the biggest transitions every successful leader has to think about is moving from being the face of the business to building a business that can thrive without them.
That's
Okay.
right.
And many companies will reach a plateau when it comes to making major decisions, client relationship-wise, deciding operational performances, successes, processes, and that's not a scalable model.
Right.
The first step, in my opinion, Chris, is to document what you do as an owner. You know, it's important to create that critical knowledge, but transition it into paper, something that's tangible, so that the next person can take those workflows and create consistencies regardless of who's leading that organization any given day. Secondly, to our other points and the other segments, you need to develop your leaders. You're not
Yes.
just coaching your employees, you're building leaders who will then in turn be you, be able to delegate and keep taking the company further. And then the third would be build a brand, then that's larger than one's own personality. You know, my own vision. I want Gill Tax Group to hold its own. I do not want it to just be Divya Gill. My role and my goal is to coach my staff to take on some of these roles as leaders so that they can carry the baton forward. And finally, creating that financial visibility through dashboards, KPIs, regular reporting, because healthy businesses make decisions based on reliable data and not just on intuition. The ultimate measure of a success isn't whether the founder can do everything, but whether your business is growing, it's serving the clients and creating opportunities, even when you, as a founder, you step away.
That's excellent. And I love the fact that you stepped right into the KPIs and measurable reports and good data. Because I find so often that businesses thrive because of the personality of the owner, because of the vision of the owner, but none of that, you know, that's running, that's a business that runs well on the owner's emotion and the owner's energy. When you run into those owners that are running their business that way, what's some of those leadership principles that you explain to them on changing that so that the business isn't running off of emotions, but rather running off of that wonderful data that they can collect?
I always tell businesses that you need to look inwards. First of all, you need to think about what a sustainable leader looks like to you. To your point, success isn't measured as to how much they can personally accomplish, but then it's measured by how many people they empower, which is a KPI to succeed after them, especially with the changing dynamics of our tech sector, with the AI being incorporated in so many people's lives. You have to be that sustainable leader who does not try to control every change, but builds that organization that can adapt revolving and around that change. You know, you will be a lifelong learner. You will financially need to stay disciplined, emotionally intelligent, and humble enough to work to seek those different perspectives. You will need to embrace AI. You will need to embrace that innovation without abandoning those timeless principles like integrity, accountability, and service, as well as having that faith that we talk about.
Absolutely. And let's talk about that faith component because, you know, a lot of business owners are scared of, you know, they go to church, they embrace God, they have a good balance of faith at home with their family, but they don't want to bring it into the workplace. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of workplaces that discourage bringing one's faith in. So, when working with our business owners and other leaders, what are some of the ways that you can encourage them to, you know, understand that faith is not, you know, when you're before work, after work, it's every day, it's all day.
Faith is ongoing, right? The way I look at it is that you cannot not function, or you have to function with faith component in it. You have to have faith to all our points we discussed in various segments in the management of the company you are working for. You have to bring that faith to and have that confidence that is exemplified by that faith that yes, I can do that job no matter how crappy life might be back home. So I encourage people to ask those questions. What am I trying to build? define your vision clearly as an individual, whether you're looking for financial freedom, whether you are looking to grow in the company, you're creating opportunities, whether it's for your family, your community, what are you trying to build? Then I also tell people, what are the principles that will guide every decision? And you need faith in that, because you need integrity, you need generosity, you need stewardship, you
Yes.
need accountability. And no matter what the scenarios and circumstances, how difficult life gets, faith will get you there. Values that you hold today will shape your future. And it's a strategy in many ways, and not the other way around.
Yeah.
And then I tell people, look at your daily habits. How do your daily habits support that vision? And this is where I encourage people to bring that faith forward, that resilience, so that they are able to review your finances on a consistent basis, create and follow a budget, build those reserves for a rainy day, invest in your education, schedule the time for reflection, for prayer, or whatever keeps you grounded in your purpose. Small disciplines, something I like to follow, practiced consistently, produce extraordinary results over time.
I couldn't say that better. Like that was spot on. And so tie that back now to a company's financial goals, because we know that, you have the KPIs, we have the daily habits, and all of that is grounded. You said it so well. I don't even want to try and re-say it, honestly, but in integrity and in intentionality. So when we bring that all together, when we wrap it all up, what would you tell our business owners is their next step for their success?
Sure. And that's a very good question. The how do we sum it up, right?
Right.
I always tell people, success is not by how much money you make, but how much wealth you built for generations to come, right? I tell them that using all the principles of integrity, consistency, stewardship, and above all, faith, think about where you are and where you want to be. It might just stem down to getting financial clarity one day at a time. With a startup that wants to get running off the ground and wants to go past the 3-year mark where they might be able to do an IPO out there. Or it might be a business that is trying to expand, which is already pre-built, but they don't know where to go. So define that strategy, define that financial clarity. Work and partner with CPAs and attorneys, as well as your financial planners, to sit down and come up with a game plan, be it personally, be it professionally, that this is a path I want to tread on, and how can we get you there? How do we get you there? So that's the goal, and that is the ultimate, my agenda for all my employees, all my clients, and people we work with.
Fantastic. Divya, this has been an extraordinary masterclass. You've done such a fabulous job. Our audience is absolutely going to love this. Thank you for your precision, your insight, your unwavering commitment to elevating the standard of global leadership. You have given our viewers the exact intellectual and operational leverage that they need to audit their business, secure their impact into their business. Thank you so much for being here with us today. My friends, as we wrap up this hour of your life and legacy, I want to leave you with one thing in mind. The assets you manage, the payrolls you sign, the corporate empires you build, they are temporary stewards of a much larger narrative. You are the architect of an environment that shapes human destinies. Do not compromise on your financial discipline. Never lose sight of your human purpose. Build with integrity. Lead with courage. Execute with absolute clarity. Until next time, I'm Christopher Nudo. Keep building a legacy that echoes into eternity. God bless you and goodbye.